The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, and it's verses 3 to 10. So it's Ephesians 1, 3 to 10. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is David Lynch. I'm the pastor here at Summerlees Church, and it's great to have you along for the next instalment in our Core Values series. So at the moment, we're actually doing something a little bit different at Summerlees, for those of you that are visiting or are along for the first time. Normally what we do is we preach through books of the Bible. So later on we're starting a series in Luke, later on we're doing Philippians, 1 Samuel later in the year. But at the moment we're doing something a bit different. We're doing more of a topical series, and we're looking at these five core values that are just so key to the way that we do things and think as a church here at Summerlees. So if you are a visitor, or if you've you've just moved to Hobart and you're thinking about finding a new church, it's actually a great series for you to come along to, because this series is all about helping you see how we tick as a church, and you can go, yep, that's a great church for me, or I don't know if that's going to work out. Hopefully the former, not the latter. But let me lead us in a prayer, and then we'll get into today's core value, which is mission. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together. Thank you that you are a God who values mission intensely. We've already been thinking about that a bit today, but we're thankful that you value mission, because the fact that you value mission means that we're here. It's only because you are a sending God, a God who sent his Son to die in our place, to take the punishment our sin deserves, to give us new life, resurrection life. It is only because of that that we can be your children and be your church. So we thank you that you're a God of mission. We pray that this morning, as we look at this core value, you would just really light that missionary fire in all of our hearts and give us enthusiasm and passion and a desire to want to be missionaries for you in this world. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, just a quick recap for those that might be new or visiting. Back in 2017, as a community, we spent a lot of time coming up with our core values. And what we did was we went away together for a weekend, and there were marker pens and there were sort of reams of butcher's paper, and we spent a lot of time kind of coming up with all the things that we really valued about Summerlees. Now, it didn't surprise me then that mission was a common theme that came up on all those bits of butcher's paper. Because most of us come from churches or Christian backgrounds, I guess you could say, that see mission as being an important thing, okay, that value mission a lot. That's the kind of heritage we have. So when mission came up as being one of those values, that didn't surprise me so much. It wasn't like the leadership value. So last week we looked at our leadership value. To be honest, that did surprise me a bit when that popped up. That kind of came out of left field a little bit for me. But mission, I thought, nah, I'm pretty sure that's going to pop up as a big one. But I have to admit, I was surprised when mission made it past stage two of the value setting process. So again, for those that were new, we came back from camp. We had a bunch of values that we'd sort of identified. And what we did was we actually sent them back to our gospel communities, which are these smaller communities that make up the whole at Summerlees. We sent the values back and we asked the gospel communities to see if they could refine them down further to the ones that really were the driving values for them, to see if we could get it down to five. And mission made it through that stage as well. Now, to be honest, that did surprise me a little bit. And you might be thinking, well, Dave, why does it surprise you? Well, the reason I was surprised was because I think mission is probably the area that we struggle with the most. I think almost all of us would agree that we find it hard. Sharing the gospel with people that don't know Jesus yet is tough work. I think often we struggle to find ways to fit it into our lives. And what's more, I think it comes when it comes to really clear-cut cases of people becoming Christians at Summerlee. So I'm talking the really clear-cut, obvious, I really wasn't a Christian and bang, now I am, that sort of thing. There's probably maybe been 5 to 6 cases of that, I would say, over the 10 years that we've been going. So it hasn't happened a lot, and that made me think, well, is that because mission isn't something that we value that intensely? Maybe it's just not a real core driving value for us. We know it's important, but perhaps it's not one of those really big driving things. So I wasn't really expecting it to get through stage two. I thought it might just quietly slip off the radar at that point. But it didn't. It made it through. It made it into the top 5. And I actually think that's just so wonderfully good. And I think that for a couple of reasons. I'll tell you why. I think, first of all, mission is like planting seeds. Okay, so if you've been with us over this series, you know we've been using our Summerlee's tree logo to sort of tell the story of our values. I won't go over all of that again because I'm going over everything again already and it's taking forever. So I won't do that. Listen to the talks. They're on our podcast or on our website if you want to. But if we sort of stick with that church, Summerlee's like a tree illustration, it's like the seed dropping. Okay, when you're explaining the gospel to someone, when you're sharing the gospel, it's like seeds being dropped. So the wonderful thing about trees is that they reproduce, don't they? If you go to a forest, you see that pretty clearly. They drop seeds, those seeds grow into new trees, and churches are like that. When you're sharing the gospel with someone, it's as though you're planting these seeds that can then grow into genuine saving faith in Jesus and a transformed life. Another Christian person grows who loves God, who has been saved from hell, who wants to live with Jesus as King. It is spectacular stuff. It's the greatest miracle, really. It doesn't get much better. It's amazing stuff. So it's like planting seeds. But secondly, the thing that I think we should be encouraged about is it shows us that we don't just value the stuff that we find easy and comfortable. I think it's easy to do that in life, in churches, in businesses, in whatever. It's easy just to value the stuff that you kind of do really well at, that you find easy, that's comfortable for you. It's so easy just to sit around and sort of pat yourself on the back for all the things that you do really well and then just sort of ignore the difficult stuff that perhaps you're not nailing so much. But I thought the encouraging thing about this is that actually it shows that as a church, our values are bigger than that. We also value the things that we're perhaps not so strong at, but know are really important. So I think that's a really good, healthy thing. So I think you should be encouraged by that. That's an encouraging thing, okay? But thirdly, and I really want to launch in off this one, I think it's great that mission is a core value for us because it's a core value for God. Yeah, I think mission, it's good that it's a core value for us because it's a core value for God. You see, when you read through the scriptures, and I'm talking the whole Bible here, when you read through the scriptures, you see that actually mission, that is, God drawing people from all nations into a relationship with himself, it is so key. It is just everywhere in the Bible. Okay, and that's actually where I'd like us to kick off as we get into this this sermon, as we look at this core value of mission. I want us to start off by looking at the fact that actually, first and foremost, it's God's mission. It's God's mission. Before mission was ever something that we valued, it was something that God valued. Okay, now, this is one of the reasons I love that passage that that Dave read for us, Ephesians 1, because it actually takes us back before the world was even created. all the way back before the world even existed, before there was even a human around to have a value, okay, even before all of that, takes you right back there, and mission is there. It's stunning stuff. I hope you've still got Ephesians 1 open in front of you. If you don't, open it back up or find it on your phone or whatever. And I want you to look at verse 4 with me. Look at verse 4 with me. It says, for he, it's talking about God, for God chose us in him, look at this, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Yeah? And then skip down to verse 7 with me. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Okay, now don't miss what that's saying. Yeah, because what it's saying is that before the world was made, God had already come up with his mission. He had already decided that he would send his son to save fallen sinners. Before the world was even made, before humanity even existed, God had already planned in his mind to save us from sin through the blood of Jesus and draw us to himself to be his people. Yeah. Look down at verses 9 and 10 with me. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now, these verses are great because they actually tell you the will of God. Yeah, they tell you God's will. You know how often people obsess over finding about what God's will is? And they say, oh, I just don't really know what God's will is at the moment. I've got to work out what God's will. You know, they're obsessed and they're worrying about it. They're trying to find out. And it's like, I've got to work out what the will of God is. You don't have to work it out because he's told you it. He's told you his will. It's right there in Ephesians 1, 9 to 10. He has made known to us the mystery of his will. What is God's will? What's God all about? What's he doing in this world? What is the big thing that he's doing in all of creation? Well, verse 10, it's bringing all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That's his will. It's his great mission. See, before mission ever begins to be something that we value as people, it's something that God values and does. And he has since before the world was even made. It's incredible. As you read through the scriptures, you will see this again and again and again, this priority of God's mission. He's literally at every major biblical event all about revealing himself to people, initiating relationships with people so that he can create this people who love him and know him and worship him and give him all the glory that he deserves. And you do see this at literally every major biblical event. Let me just whip you through them super quick. I'll just show you, just to give you a flavor. We won't do all of it because we'll be here for weeks, but we'll just do a couple of big ones. It's there right at the beginning of creation. Look at Acts with me. This is Acts 17, 26. He's talking about the creation of humanity. Paul says this. He says, from one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Look at this next bit. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Now, can you see that? In creation, God is on mission. He's creating people to seek him. He's creating people to know him. That's why he did it. It's also there in the story of Abraham. You skip on a little bit. By the time you get to Genesis 12, if you know Genesis well, you know humanity's done the exact opposite of what Acts 17 says. They're not seeking him and reaching out to him at all. They're sinning, and there's this horrible cycle of sin going on and on and on and on, basically from Genesis 3 to 11. But then, does God give up on his mission? No, he doesn't. Genesis 12, 1 to 3, you get Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. Look at this next bit. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He hasn't given up on his mission. He raises up Abraham and through him, he wants to bless, reach out to, enter into relationship with all nations. Let me just show you one more. We cruise over to the book of Exodus. You see the same thing, okay? What is it that comes at the climax of the Exodus story? It's an interesting thing to think about. You know, you've got all the plagues. You've got Moses there. There's plagues. There's all that happening. They come out. There's Egyptian armies being washed away. They're crossing the Red Sea. God parts. It's all this amazing, mind-blowing, incredible stuff. And then the climax comes in Exodus 19. God draws them to a mountain, and he says these startling words to them. He says, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you're to speak to the Israelites. Now just try and get your head around this. They're to be a nation of priests. Now what do priests do? What are priests all about? What's the job of a priest? In almost every single religion around, what do priests do? Well, priests are there to help you know God. In almost every single religion, that's what a priest is for. They're there to help you know God. They're there to reveal God to people. So what God is doing now is he's including people in his mission, because God's people are to be priests. They're to be his instruments as he draws more and more and more people in to know him. Now, we could go on like this all day. You could go through the whole rest of the Bible and I could show you how at all these key points, God is on mission. He's on mission when he gives Israel the law. He's on mission when he brings Israel into the promised land. He's on mission when he deals with David and Solomon. He's on mission with the temple. He's on mission when he delivers Jerusalem from Assyria. And he's on mission when he brings people back from the exile. All of these events, as you go through the scriptures, they've all got this missional side to them, this missional aspect. Because mission is what God is on about right through the scriptures. Every major biblical event, he is revealing himself to people in all kinds of ways, drawing people in to know himself. But of course, the absolute high point comes with Jesus, doesn't it? The absolute high point. I mean, look at Colossians 1 with me. Spectacular passage. Colossians 1, 21 to 22. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. Now, you can see there how Jesus is just the most massive sort of missional turning point in this whole thing, can't you? Because as we saw in Ephesians 1, it's through Jesus' death for us on the cross that God's mission can truly take effect. He's the one that deals with sin. He's the one that deals with the full punishment that sin deserves, so that we can now fully and finally be brought into relationship with God. But more than that, he shows us just how much God values mission. See, one of the easiest ways to see what someone's priorities are is to see what they're willing to sacrifice for that priority. Now, you really want to know what someone's true priorities are? Well, look for the things that they sacrifice for the most, and that'll show you. Okay. So, for example, I've got a friend who is currently trying to become a neurosurgeon. Anyone here ever tried to be a neurosurgeon? No? It's hard. It is really, I cannot believe how hard it is. It is really, really hard. He has had to do this insane amount of time just as an undergraduate. Like most degrees go for 3 years. It feels like he did it forever. He was always at uni, just doing that and that and that, racking up all this hex debt, and it's been full on, had no life. And then they ping him once he's finished that. He's just been pinged all over the country, placement after placement after placement. He's now at this horrible stage. I didn't know they do this. It's almost cruel what they make you do. You've got to sit these filthy exams that you have to pay thousands of dollars for just for the privilege of sitting the exam. And you can't just pass the exam. You have to be in the top percentile of the people that pass the exam. You have to ace it, because unless you do that, you can't go on to the next stage. And so he hasn't been in that top percentile for a few years, and so he's sitting around just forking out thousands of dollars to do it each time. On and on and on it goes. The competition is huge. The time it takes is huge. You don't get to have a life outside of it, really. But because that career value is so strong for him, yeah, because it's so core to him, he makes the sacrifices. And as far as I can tell, he does it without much complaint. And I'm sure you know this for yourself, don't you? You make sacrifices for the things you value the most. That's just how we operate. So you can tell how core a value is to somebody by looking at how much they'll sacrifice for it. Now, with that in mind, okay, if you think of values that way, you can see just how much of a priority God's mission is to God. How much God values this mission value. Because look at what he sacrificed. His son. His own perfect son. Just let that land on you for a minute. So great is his commitment to mission. So core is that value to him. He was willing to hand over his own perfect son so that he could create this new people. This people that would love and worship him and give him the glory he deserves. So I think it's great that mission is on our core values list. I'm glad it made it through, because it's one of God's core values. It was his before it was ours. It's God's mission. But it's also a mission driven by love. It's a loving mission. Now, this is an important thing for us at Summerlees. In the summaries of our mission values, this is sort of the summary paragraph, or it's part of the summary paragraph. It's a bigger paragraph than this, but this is part of the paragraph that we came up with that summarised all the butcher's paper. It talked about like this. It says, our relational emphasis flows into the way that we approach mission. As we reach out to people through relationships in a natural and loving way. It's really an extension, I think, of our community value that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. You know, because we value community so highly, that kind of flows in and touches on everything, and so it does touch on our mission value. As the more we do these values, you'll see they'll start to sort of intersect and feed into one another and affect how we go about them. But at some of these relationships, they're important to us. They matter to us. Being genuine is important to us. Treating people with love and respect is important to us. So we really want to avoid any kind of mission practice that is unloving or that treats people like projects. I remember back when I first became a Christian, it happened to me at university, and it was this sort of my whole world, suddenly the roof blew off my world, really. It was just unbelievable turning point in my life. Everything changed around. And there was me, and there's a bunch of others of us as well. And we became very zealous for evangelism. Very, very, very zealous. We were acutely aware of how much people needed the gospel. We were aware of the reality of hell. We wanted to see people saved through faith in Jesus. And so basically myself and a bunch of others of us, we just went gangbusters. We didn't actually have phones to have address books back then in the 90s, but we had actual books with addresses. Yeah, and we'd ring everyone up and we'd catch up with absolutely every single person we knew, and we would desperately try and twist every conversation around somehow to Jesus. Okay, and if we spent time with someone, a non-Christian friend that didn't know Jesus, and in that conversation we didn't say something about the Christian faith, we came away feeling a bit disappointed and almost like we'd wasted our time. Because the gospel's so urgent and people needed Jesus so desperately. And of course that's true. The gospel is urgent and people do need Jesus desperately. And in that sense, our desire to share him was coming from a really good place. The problem was that in the process, we weren't treating people very well. And we certainly weren't leaving people feeling loved and respected. And it kind of came to a head with me one day when this very dear friend of mine said to me, "Dave, look, I'm okay with you being a Christian. I've got no problems with that. But I feel like you're putting a real strain on our relationship." And I was getting arced up to go, "Yes, persecution, like the people in China." Yeah. But it wasn't that at all. He just said, "Actually, I just feel like I'm a project to you. I feel like I'm this little sort of conversion project to you, and I only matter to you because you want to convert me and turn me into another little notch on your evangelism belt." We didn't say evangelism belt because he didn't know the word evangelism. We only know that, don't we? But you know what I mean? It just feels like you're going to be another notch on your sort of your convert belt. Now, I was gutted because people are precious and they're worthy of respect. I mean, they're made in the image of God, for crying out loud. They're not projects and they're not notches on belts. And so mission must never, ever be this cold kind of military style, rack up the numbers sort of affair. It must be driven by real, genuine love. Love for precious people. After all, that's what motivates God, isn't it, in his mission? I think of that wonderful verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." What drives God to give his Son? It's love. He so loved the world. He did it because of love. And that's just so key to how we think about this missional value at Summerlees. We love people. We respect people. We want to look after people. We don't want to treat them in a way that leaves them feeling like projects. We want to relate to them in genuine, loving, natural ways. God loves them, and so we want to love them too. And there's two really key passages, I think, that show us about how you go about mission for the average Christian person. One of them is 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Or Colossians 4, verses 5 to 6. "Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer everyone." See, how do we go about sharing Jesus with those who don't know Jesus? Well, we're to do it gently. We're to do it respectfully. And we're to do it graciously. That's how you do it. Gentle, respectful, and gracious. Okay, well, we've seen that mission is first and foremost God's mission. We've seen that it's to be a loving mission. But the final thing that comes out of our mission value is that we want to grow in it. We've got a growing mission. See, one of the things I love about us as a church is that, as I said earlier, we know that we're not the best in this area, but we also know that we want to change and grow. And I reckon that came out at camp the other week. You know, there's one thing that really struck me about that camp, and sorry for those of you that weren't there, I'm kind of talking a little bit to the people that were, but at the camp we were talking about kind of where we wanted to go next, what our future vision was going to be, and again we sort of had lots of, well, it was similar to the other one. There were marker pens and there was butcher's paper and we're brainstorming, we're thinking together. But, you know, one of the things that just flowed out were all this desire to grow in mission. There were all these different areas and people that we're thinking about and loving and praying for. And it was unbelievable. As an eldership, we're kind of a bit overwhelmed because we've got all this stuff now, all these wonderful new ideas, which really just spoke volumes about how you, the church, want to grow in this area. Yeah, we want to be growing. And I guess what I'd like to finish off by saying is, let's do it. Yeah, we value this, right? It's our value. We want to get better at it. So let's do it. Let's make 2019 another year of missionary growth. At last, I'm talking about all the camps, aren't I? I just think all we do is ever go on camps. But at our last camp, the more missional camp, for those of you there, we looked at this idea of trying to just turn the mission temperature in our lives up just by 1 degree, okay? Not going from sort of naught to Billy Graham status overnight, but just trying to go, you know, let's just what's this 1 degree? What's this one thing that we can do, one way that we can grow this year? I think that's a thing that we should be doing every year. What's the 1 degree for you this year? I mean, normally I speak a lot about making the most of the opportunities that we have with the people that we know, with our families, with our friends, the people that we work with, our neighbours. Really, that's the big thing that we looked at camp last year, and I still stand by all that. Please keep doing that. Super important. But that's what I always go on about. And so I thought maybe today, maybe just in the interest of doing something a little bit different, I thought maybe I could just shoot you three super practical kind of call to action type things that you might like to consider as you think about your 1 degree this year. Okay? Super duper practical, kind of pretty easy really, things that you could do if you want to grow a little bit in this missional value. Okay? Here they are. First of all, commit to praying for some people. In those certainty booklets, you know our Gospel Community Bible Study booklets that you get that have all the Luke Gospel Bible Studies in them at the moment, and they change with the series, you know, Jess writes them, hands them out. There's actually a page at the front of that that has three little spots where you can write three people's names. And the point of that is for you to actually go, you know, I really want to just commit to praying for these people in my life. Why not make your degree this year to fill that in and just start praying for them? If you've got no one to write there, just start praying that God would give you someone to write there. But how easy is that? It's concrete. You go and do that after church today if you wanted to. Here's another one. Why not take up the mission team's offer to join one of their committees for one of the mission events? You know, there's Easter coming up, there's the Good Life Project, there's carols later on, there's other stuff happening. I mean, have a chat to Jess or Aaron and say, hey, I would like to turn the mission temperature up a degree, so can I help out on one of those committees? They will love that. They'll be pumped about that. And the great thing is, and Jess kind of alluded to this, you can help in a way that really suits who you are, because these things need all kinds of people doing all kinds of things to make them work. They need people just to, like, go to the shop and buy stuff. They need people just to hide Easter eggs or barbecue sausages. They need people that are good at managing other people. They need people overseeing teams. They need arty people who design stuff. They need hands-on people that can build stuff and make stuff. They need upfront people that can sing and MC and do all kinds of stuff, puppet shows, whatever else we do. They need techie people that can do techie stuff. Guaranteed there is something there that is just screaming out for you in all of your uniqueness and giftings that God has given you that you can help with. Guaranteed. So you could help out with one of those. That would be a practical 1 degree. Another one, maybe you could help us connect more with our mission partners. Maybe you could resolve to email them. I'm thinking particularly of Derek and Anna over in Southeast Asia. It's hard over there. I know for us, getting things in our inboxes almost feels a bit annoying
most of the time, but over there, it's the thing that can make all the difference. You know, when you get home and you literally get a paragraph just saying, hey, thinking about you, keep going, really pleased you're there, praying for you. Yeah, that might be the thing that stops you going nuts that night after a lonely day that you've been hit with a whole heap of discouragement. Maybe you could just send them a couple of emails. Maybe you could be that person that takes the prayer letter to gospel community and says, hey guys, in the prayer time, let's remember these guys. Yeah. Maybe you could go along to Friday Night Focus or cook for them. As we saw, that's a way that you can have a huge impact on China. You know, where you can reach Chinese people, often people that are coming from cities where there is no church, where there are no Bibles, but they're here and now they are coming along and they're seeing the Bible for the first time and they're hearing about it. You could be part of that. And far out, that will encourage Luke and the team. Maybe you could actually go over to Southeast Asia and visit the Brothersons. And if that's something you want to do, let us know. We'll help you raise the money. We'd love to send you. But there's some practical things. Three little practical things that you could just do to turn that temperature up if you want to grow this year. But of course, you could do a ton of other stuff as well. There's so many things. Again, think about all that stuff that your GC came up with at camp. There's bucket loads of stuff. Chat to Aaron, chat to Jess. They're there to help. Maybe you've got bigger, better ideas. If you do, great, because we're all about growing in mission. Well, I've used up all my time, but I hope this has re-enthused you about this important core value. I think it's great that we have it. Be encouraged that you value it. And I hope that it's something that at this church we keep valuing intensely. And what I'd love to just do now is just wrap up by inviting you to pray with me that God would help us to make 2019 a year that we keep growing in this area. Do you want to pray that prayer with me now? Let's pray that together as a family. Father, thank you for your great mission that's been around since before the world was ever even made. Thank you for the intensity with which you value your mission, because, Father, if you weren't willing to value it that much, we would not be here. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he's done everything that it took to make this mission possible. And I want to thank you so much for our church family. Thank you that we're okay with going, you know what, we're not perfect, we don't nail everything, but we know what's important and we value what's important and we want to grow in what's important. And so we call on you now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Would you convict us? Would you give us the enthusiasm and the passion that we need? Would you help those of us that are just feeling really overwhelmed just by life at the moment to see how perhaps we can fit mission in a natural way that we're just sharing the gospel flows out of us sort of organically and easily? And would you help us all as a church to just keep growing in this area, that more people might know you and give you the wonderful glory that you deserve? And we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.